everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs.
That can be a lot of money, but are your bills even accurate?
It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Second hour, Clay and Buck kicks off now. We've got two main stories today we're going to be bouncing in and out of. Obviously, the ongoing trial in New York City of Donald Trump. It is like an episode of The Twilight Zone or something. You've got the Republican nominee, de facto nominee for president, who has already been president for 4 years. Facing one of four felony indictments, any one of which, if he was convicted, could make him spend the rest of his life theoretically in prison. This whole thing is nuts. And Clay pointed out there's an op-ed in the New York Times. Maybe we'll dive into some of that. Pretty clear the person doesn't seem to really be a Trumper, but just says the Alvin Bragg indictment is farcical but deeply unfunny, right? It's absurd. And actually pretty frightening. Makes you think, as a New Yorker, how could you get a fair trial? If Alvin Bragg is overseeing the Manhattan District Attorney's office, what if you were charged with a serious crime and you were innocent? Would you be able to get a fair trial in New York? We'll dive into some of that. I wanted to return, though, Clay, for a moment to the campus situation here. I will say, I wish there was a way to look and see it with the correlation between the activists on campus who are, you know, kind of old enough, right? I mean, you have to look at the ages here because going back, but the activists on campus now and the people that are doing this stuff and who was really fired up about BLM, you know, and I think that there is ideologically, and this tells you a lot on the left, the same way that putting pronouns in your bio and being a climate change catastrophist. Oh my gosh, climate change, we're all going to die. That's kind of fallen into the background. It's always there, but falling in the background is an issue right now. There's about 100% crossover, right? If you put pronouns in your bio, you also believe in climate change. I think if you are a Palestinian or a pro-Palestinian in the tents, out on the square, shouting abuse at your, fellow students who are Jewish, if you're that, you're also really into BLM. You know, you're also chanting Black Lives Matter, depending on. There's a near perfect ideological crossover, I think, and we should ask why that is. I mean, I would answer the question simply as these people want to tear down Western civilization and they're just wrong about everything. But speaking of tearing things down, the NYPD made arrests and tore down the tents at Columbia University yesterday. This is cut five, and this is how it sounded. You get the idea. Pandemonium. They're screaming "Free Palestine," and I always want to know. First of all, you know, they never stop to think, like, the West Bank isn't under a military invasion right now. Gaza decided that they were going to support an entity that did something that brought about a response, and there are consequences. You know, elections have consequences. Clay, terror attacks have consequences as well. But these kids, like, what issue? What would it take for you when you were in college to go camp out? First of all, to shout abuse and threats at fellow classmates just because of who they are, right? People are Jewish. That is who they are. And then to live in tents and then to scream and act like you're the victim when the police finally show up after you've gotten 100 warnings that this is what's going to happen.
This is really interesting because I think it goes to the essence. First of all, when I was in college, I went to GW, George Washington University. I would say that GW was in the top 5 or 10% most politically active campuses in the country, because if you choose to go to college in Washington, D.C., you probably are more attuned to politics than your average college kid would be. We had very vibrant GW Republican and GW Democrat student groups on campus. Nobody was protesting, though. And the Arab kids on GW's campus at the time were mostly rich kids who wanted to drive fancy cars and just have a good time partying in college, which I have no issue with. And everybody seemed at the time, maybe I'm totally crazy, to really get along very well. I said this before, but GW had, the team looked up, like a 30 or 40% Jewish population.
Yeah, but where were you? You were out of school on September 11th?
I was a first-year law student at Vanderbilt.
So you weren't undergrad anymore? Because we had a lot of this. There was a lot of lunatic stuff going on after 9/11 and the months afterwards, where there was a lot of America is Hitler and we're going to do a genocide in Afghanistan. That happened in my school, I could tell you. So this isn't, it's not that different. I think a couple things, Clay. We see it a lot. We didn't have streaming video
social
cameras
media
on our phones. Everything now is performance art on these college campuses for these kids, you know, these young adults. So you're seeing a lot more of it than you would have. And so I think that encourages it too, right? And this was certainly true of Occupy Wall Street. They were all yelling down with capitalism while they were live streaming from their laptops made with virtual slave labor in China, right?
You know, yeah.
That was the way they were doing it.
Well, the thing that's crazy to me about this iteration of student protest. So there weren't, again, I mentioned the University of Missouri campus protest that started BLM related. That was the first time I saw it on like an SEC campus. But what's interesting is, Buck, you mentioned that your dad was at Columbia Business School in 1968.
He had a view of the main area from his building where they did the crackdown in 68. He said cops went in mounted patrol with batons and they were just whacking people.
So the 68 era protests of Vietnam make logical sense that college kids would be involved because they had the danger of potentially being sent in a draft to go fight in jungles of Vietnam. So it makes sense to me that a kid who is of age at that time would feel a direct connection to the Vietnam protests. You mentioned yesterday, I think, what percentage of any of the kids that are protesting now have ever been to the Middle East, ever considered going to Israel, ever spent any time at all in the Middle East? A tiny percentage of them. This doesn't really impact their life. So it feels to me, by and large, like a social contagion brought on by the power of social media, where they're trying to take a stand on something that doesn't direct them, almost for social cachet.
Well, also, we've rightly established that in this country, the primary impulse or the primary thought process behind these these anti-Jewish, anti-Israeli, in fact, they're even saying, you know, anti-Zionism. That's just meant to be a facade. It's a euphemism for their anti-Jewishness, right? It's like, well, who are you really upset at here? Why don't you just say it? But with all that going on, and I do think the racial component of this is big, what you also have, Clay, is for the left in this country, this is the Israel-Palestine issue is turned into a your cause can be tied into this, right? If you're a racial justice person, and here, that's the primary. In the Middle East, it's more of a religious and, you know, historical. But if you're a racial justice person, it's white people against non-white people, Israelis against, even though we know, and I always just say it because I don't want someone to write in like, but Israelis are, you know, Semitic and they're Ethiopian Jews and there's all this. I know. And there's a million Arabs living. This is notable, I think, with full rights and peaceably and happily inside of Israel. You don't have a million Jews living inside of the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, but you have a million Arab, including some Arab Christians, who live peaceably inside of Israel. But okay, but you can pick the racial issue if that's what you want to focus on. You can pick the religious issue, so the Jewish, Muslim, and I think that when you see some of the protesters, protesters of Islamic heritage view it through that lens primarily. You're seeing a lot of black students protesting on campus. I mean, you can see this from the videos, and I think they view it through that racial lens instead of the religious lens. And then you just have some of the lunatic left-wing Marxist kids who view it through the oppressive colonial power or, you know, capitalist power of America influencing Mideast foreign policy. Do you see what I mean? They're like,
yeah.
Whoever shows up at the anti-Israel protest, they get to pick their version of left-wing lunacy that makes them happy, right? It's an issue that is very broad in that sense.
Well, and I think you talked about it. Remember they tried to turn the Chicago guy who got shot into the new BLM, but he fired 11 times at police, yes. And then the video came out, and that story kind of vanished. I wonder to what extent the oxygen is being soaked up that this is going to be the thing. The reason why I'm skeptical for 2024, the reason why I'm skeptical is I think the larger puppet masters of the Democrat Party recognize that this is actually not helpful electorally.
Absolutely.
Whereas BLM theoretically could be.
Yes. Yes. And I would say this, Clay, if I were still in New York, because they don't listen to talk radio, like they'd have no idea who I am. If I were still in New York, I would want to go to the Columbia, and I guess it's kind of cleared out, but I'm sure there's still, you know, I don't know what there's not like a live stream of it that I can find right now. But if I could find these students, and NYU I should note also just had, let me see, where was this? NYU just had 130 anti-war protesters arrested. Columbia has had all in-person classes canceled.
They're done. That's what we said off the top. Like they're done with in-person classes over
37,000 students. Let me just say, Clay, this isn't going to make these protesters go away. I know this area. It's up near like Morningside Heights and kind of Upper West Side. They don't live on campus primarily. They live in apartments off of campus. So they've all basically got apartments till the end of May. Start with that. Okay. They're all going to have their housing. A lot of them have their housing, and there's college kids. So they'll double up and they'll quadruple up into a one bedroom if they have to, because, you know, welcome to New York. They're going to be there. So this agitation is not stopping. It's also beautiful right now in New York City. We're joking around. If they were doing Occupy University of Michigan in January, I'd have a little more, you know, out on the quad in tents, I'd have a little more like, wow, these guys are really committed. It's beautiful weather. I just want to say, if I were to walk around, and I know I am surmising here and I can't prove this yet because I'm in Miami and, you know, Florida is the same place compared to what's going on in Columbia and NYU. If I were to ask, and what do you think about this, these different students, hey, look, would you just, what is your view of October 7th? Like, would you condemn it? I don't think I could get more than 1 in 10 to even half-heartedly say that was really bad. They would immediately pivot to something else. They would say, oh, it's oppressed people, and oh, this is propaganda and whatever. I mean, what happened on October 7th is the most disgusting and disgraceful thing to occur since 9/11. And the fact that there are so many students who they don't even feel like they need to clear their throat beforehand, Clay, before they start talking about how Israel's genocide. They don't say, look, we really think October 7th was horrible, but this is not the way forward for, you know, this is unfair on humanitarian grounds. It's just evil. Israel is evil. And they won't talk about October 7th.
When we come back, I'm going to have some fun with producer Ali. Just sent me some of the signs that are out there in Columbia right now from far left wing groups supporting Hamas.
Are trans students for Hamas featuring
trans
in this
students
one?
Are marching
trans students for
Hamas.
That I want to fund the field trip. Let's see them head over to Gaza. and see how that one goes for them.
I would love, I would help pay for an, we talked about this some on Thursday or Friday, that I would help pay for an airplane to fly LGBTQ activists to Hamas to protest, stage protests in the inside of Gaza. Let's see how long they last. Number one fantasy sports app right now in America, Prize Picks. Easiest, most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you haven't downloaded Prize Picks yet, do it today. You know what I did? I'm watching this new Beckham documentary. I need to ask Buck whether he watched it or not. It's on Netflix. Amazing. But right, Laura, my wife said, hey, I'm going to bed. I flipped it off, went over, saw the end of the 76ers-Knicks game. Knicks' biggest win since Larry Johnson was playing. It was an amazing ending. And then I woke up this morning and I saw that LeBron lost. And you know, I love watching LeBron James lose because I think he's destroyed the NBA with his woke nonsense. My personal opinion. But my goodness, those were two amazing endings, and you could have had some fun with them in Prize Picks. Every time you play, remember, you got an automatic win with Jokic, who went for 20 points, 20 rebounds, like 11 assists. Best way to get action on sports, more than 30 states, including Florida, California, Georgia, Texas. If you're feeling left out, go get hooked up today, prizepicks.com. If you love Major League Baseball like I do, I watch the Braves every day in this household. My boys are big Atlanta Braves fans. You can get up to $100 deposit match. It's lots of fun. You can win a lot of money, and you can have a good time doing it. Prizepicks.com. Use my name, Clay. Go check it out. Again, California, Texas, Florida, Georgia. You can get hooked up. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. PrizePicks.com/Clay.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Go to puretalk.com/buck to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/buck.
A little bit of an update for you. We're scheduled to be joined in the third hour by Andy McCarthy to talk about the latest chaos in the Trump case. And we're not going to avoid the chaos that is the Trump case, but every day coming on and saying, yeah, they're still crazy, is basically the update of how things are going. And we're not going to know necessarily, I don't think, for a couple of months until this case is actually completed, whether we manage to end up with any sane jurors that will actually apply the law in a rational basis, or if they were just successful in entirely getting Trump deranged people on the case. But what I will say, Buck, that I do think is significant, they are allowing somebody like Michael Cohen to go on MSNBC all the time and take shots at Trump. And they're trying to restrict Trump's ability to comment on people like Michael Cohen as a part of the gag order. That seems clearly flawed in my analysis.
I mean, what have you pointed out, Clay, that there may be a situation here where Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, is testifying against Trump, and Trump's former Stormy Daniels lawyer, therefore opponent, Michael Avenatti,
yes,
is in favor of Trump in this, yes, situation, right? Like the allegiances of these two lawyers have completely shifted over time. It's kind of a remarkable, I know this is a bit of a side note, but it's a remarkable situation. And I also think that the everything that is being done in this trial in New York is showing you that the whole thing is completely unfair. I mean, do you want to break down? We're going to have Andy later. Why don't we talk a bit about this editorial, yeah, that makes so clear this entire thing in New York, irrespective of what the actual facts presented are, the way the process itself, and the legal system is really just a process for managing different interests and you know, ultimately trying to achieve justice. The process, Clay, is being abused in a way that it is impossible to think that Trump is getting due process.
Well, and this is why everybody out there last week was saying, oh, you need to be arrested for jury tampering. No, I actually stand on principle. Like Alan Dershowitz, who I saw, I don't know if you saw this, Buck, came out in the wake of the Columbia protests and said, I can't consider myself to be a Democrat anymore. Which, again, Alan Dershowitz seems to me to be standing on principle, which I wish more people did. And I know that Tunnel to Tower stands on principle because they're helping our country's homeless veterans. They're helping all of our heroes, the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured. That's what Tunnel to Towers does. The foundation's Gold Star Fallen First Responder Smart Home and Homeless Veterans Program comprises their in-the-line-of-duty program dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. Tunnel to Towers Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about 9/11. It's been 23 years now. There are kids graduating from college that were never born when 9/11 happened. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes directly to its programs. Buck and I are donating Crockett Coffee, money that we make to them, that as well as our own personal funds. You can donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
You know, we had said, I gotta just tell you, Clay, I wish that I could do some man on the street stuff. You know, I'd put on a mask, obviously, COVID, gotta be safe. Put on a mask, and I would say, operating, you know, as an independent journalist or something. I don't know, I'd come up with some story that's true, but, you know, you don't have to tell them all the stuff. I would love to be able to ask these protesters questions. I mean, the one that would first come to mind is, so October 7th, how do you feel about that? And just to see their reactions. But you pointed out that there are a lot of signs out there,
yes,
that give us a sense of the mentality, the psychology of these maniacs were out in the quads yelling and protesting. And remember, it's not just about the protesting. I mean, they're shouting abuse at Jewish students for being Jewish. I mean, this is a regular occurrence at these campuses. They're shouting threatening things about the Jewish people and the need for retribution and all kinds of crazy stuff. So what are the signs like that you're seeing, Clay?
Some of the signs in this crazy Columbia protest that has been reported on: gays for Gaza, dykes for divest, lesbians for liberation. And there is a photo here of dykes for divest, which is connected to a Palestinian flag. So this is what, to your point, if you could be a reporter right now and you could go interview these gay kids that are protesting on behalf of Palestinian statehood or whatever they're trying to, basically anti-Israel protest, do they have any conception of what would happen to them at all if they were in Gaza? They could go right now and walk anywhere in Israel and they could protest in favor of gay rights.
Do you want me to play the role of purple-haired lunatic leftist?
Yes.
And what they would say?
What do you think they would say if they were asked directly about the cognitive dissonance?
I understand the absolutism of the victim left, and that everything can always, you can justify anything because you're always the victim or you're always supporting the victim. They would say that any rejection of trans rights in Gaza is the fault of the Israelis for oppressing Palestinians in Gaza and not allowing the freedom to express themselves necessary to. So it's Israel's fault. I'm telling you, that is what the purpose, if they would even answer your question and not just shriek and try to spit at you, but that is what they would say. They would say that everything, Clay, anything that Hamas does, no matter how vile, is Israel's fault. That's the whole game. That's the way they do all of this.
This is also why the disconnect between race and religion is so important, because much of the Muslim faith is incredibly conservative in nature. Making a woman cover her entire body because you are concerned about what the reaction will be from men if she is not completely covered is insanely conservative. And it's based on their religious belief. But here in the United States, we've managed to divorce what is the multi-thousand-year battle, by and large, in the Middle East, the conflict between the Jewish faith and the Muslim faith, and certainly Christianity rolls in there too. Historically, that's been the whole reason that we fight. This is only in the last 30 years has suddenly the argument become, based on the color of the skin, we're going to determine who is oppressed and who is the oppressor. And we've got a lot of Jewish listeners. The idea that Jews, of all people, would be the colonizers and the oppressors when you look at their entire past couple of thousand years of history, is so bastardized from any realization of the truth that it is crazy that the most educated people in America would have become such a cult that they are behaving in this fashion.
One is, I think we always can refer to them as the most credentialed via the education bureaucracy, right? I mean, there's education and then there's having letters after, as we found out thanks to a listener about Dr. Jill Biden, who doesn't even have a PhD. It's some other thing I'd never even heard of before. But also, Clay, you have to remember that in the same way that Asian Americans have destroyed the left's race mythology around how it is racial oppression that prevents minorities from getting into Harvard, right? Or racism. It is racism that prevents minorities from getting into Harvard, whether systemic or otherwise. Well, no, actually, Asians had to face racism because so many of them would otherwise get into Harvard you know, East Asians we're talking about now. And so that's how the Supreme Court ended up coming around to finally saying, and you'll notice a lot of schools are still trying to just ignore this, that you can't discriminate on the basis of race in college admissions. The left in our country has, and this is why people talk about, they'll say cultural Marxism. It's really a racial Marxism, actually. They've replaced economic inequality with this hierarchy of racial oppression, right? So instead of just where are you on the financial scale, it's are you, you know, the most oppressed race, a slightly less oppressed race, it's all on skin color. The history of the Jewish people, whom they consider to be white, remember this, the left considers them to be white, the history of the Jewish people would seem to be on its face a refutation of the core belief of the left, which is that the only people that face true discrimination are non-white. That white people, in fact, the left has claimed for years, you cannot be racist against white people because racism requires privilege and power in society. That means that effectively it is not possible for, you know, white people are always in this role of, well, this is crazy. Because as you point out, the history of the Jewish people, and not just the 2000 plus year history, but the last 100 and, you know, do the math on it, the last 100 or so years, 120 years.
It was only 75 years ago that we had actual concentration camps where millions of Jews were being put to death because they were Jewish. I mean, this is why it's such a fundamentally broken worldview. In living memory, we can point to it being totally wrong. And yet, this is why my belief has to be, and this is, we had this conversation the first hour. Ultimately, I believe that logic triumphs. And I just feel like this is so crazy. This idea that Jews are oppressors and colonizers is so freaking, and I have to be careful not to curse because we're not allowed to. It's so freaking ridiculous.
But can I give you a, can I give you a little bit of a sad moment here? You know, again, you're using logic and thinking
sad
about
trombone.
This as a person of high IQ. We can get a womp womp sound out here. Clay, the Democrats during the pandemic in 2020 embraced the just absolutely preposterous lie that cops are murdering black men without consequence systematically and frequently across the country. I mean, that was the underlying lie of BLM. Cops murder black men and nothing happens. So first of all, the guy who was even in the proximity of George Floyd just got, and there's a whole conversation we had about what did George Floyd really die of. We could talk about that another time. But, you know, the guy who was in the proximity just got sentenced to prison. So the notion that it was all a lie, they haven't walked away from it at all. In fact, I think they viewed it as entirely a successful op. I think they thought Operation St. George Floyd and BLM 2.0, rooted in a lie, delivered the presidency in part for Joe Biden.
I think they believe that. Here's the problem. BLM was beneficial, they think. I really don't see how this crazy anti-Israel protest is beneficial to the Democrat Party. I think it might actually cost them the election, which makes me wonder, you know, once you turn the crate, once you let crazy people rule you, it's hard to manage crazy people. And the crazy kind of seems out of control right now. How do you put the crazy back into the corral where the crazy is beneficial to you? It's like the, you know, the cattle rustling. One of the best Western movies of all time, actually a miniseries, Lonesome Dove, one of the great all-time Western novels by Larry McMurtry. It's all well and good when you've got the herd moving in the direction you want them to go. But when the herd breaks free, things fall apart in a hurry. It feels to me like the Democrat herd, this horde of protesters that they have been able to direct, oh, you're the white man's the problem. Let's go burn down a police precinct. Black people are being murdered indiscriminately. What happens when that turns on itself? Because you got some people who were in the BLM protest that are now walking past Columbia and they're Jewish and they're like, wait a minute, these people, we had to shut down Columbia University. These people are crazy.
I'm telling you, I was at a Passover with conservative Jews last night, and we're talking about this issue, And I was, you know, reading for, I don't know. I remember I learned a little bit of the Hebrew, but I forget. But I was, you know, reading from the books and doing all the stuff. And we talked about this afterwards. The left-wing Jews, as much as left-wing Jews, the conservative Jews have already known, they listen to us, the Hollywood Jewish community, let's just say, that's an easy way to describe
like a left-wing Jew would be like a Hollywood Jew, right?
Yeah, the left-wing secular. I mean, they're sort of culturally and from an identity perspective, Jewish. They tend not to be very religious. The religious Jews, the conservative Jews, politically and religiously, they're already on team reality here. The left-wing Jews, I'm telling you, man, even with all this crazy stuff on campus, they're not going to vote for Donald Trump. And they're not going to do it.
But will they not show up, or will they vote RFK Jr.?
I think they're still going to vote for Joe Biden. They're going to say, oh, he doesn't have a choice, but he's good on the choice issue. He's good on abortion. And he pretends to be a religious Catholic, but he's not really. He's actually a secular Marxist fraud. And, you know, they're going to, I'm telling, this is my fear. We'll see. But I don't see the Jews who see reality already see reality, you know, in terms of this election. They've seen it a long time.
The Robert Krafts of the world are looking around. He's a billionaire, ostensibly a man who has supported BLM. I think some of them are looking around and saying, holy hell, we've unleashed the furies here. This craziness is too much for me. I could be wrong. Again, I tend to be an optimist and tend to be rational in the way that I analyze things, and we certainly live in an irrational era. If Jewish people vote for Democrats, I think any Jewish person who votes for Democrats is crazy in 2024. I really do. I mean, just based on what you're seeing.
We'll see. You know, making sense of the stock market, the machinations behind it, that's no easy task. But that's what editor and columnist Mark Chaykin does in his regularly published reports. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years before becoming a writer. In his time on the street, he invented three new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent focus on AI stocks and all the hype around them. Now, Mark says most Americans are about to miss out on a critical turning point in this AI stock frenzy. Mark is saying this is a new dawn for U.S. stocks, and he predicts that dozens of companies, specific companies, will be impacted by this in just the next 90 days. That's why Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with our listeners. He puts everything in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIstock.com. That's 2024AIstock.com. Paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay. Top of the next hour, we'll dive into this New York Times editorial. Yes, I said New York Times in the editorial page. Absolutely savaging the case that's been brought by Alvin Bragg against Donald Trump. And I think it's really well written. I'm stunned, frankly, that the New York Times is sharing it. But we'll break that down for you, give the latest reminder. Andy McCarthy is going to join us halfway through the third hour to give you the latest analysis from a legal perspective as a former prosecutor in New York for what he is seeing there. But let's go with a couple of your calls here. Joe in Big Bend, Wisconsin, what you got for us?
Hey, guys, great show. Just as far as a little comment on the crazies, Democrat Party needs the crazies because they need somebody to fulfill the lawlessness, the quote-unquote peaceful, mostly peaceful protests. And let's take Wisconsin, for example. We now have a liberal Supreme Court that's going to grant every wish list from ballot drop boxes to, I mean, you name it. Probably try and get away from voter ID. They need somebody to carry out their wish list because they can't win on their message.
I get that argument. I think the problem is that I would point to BLM was able to coalesce all of the identity politics contingents. And they even had, remember, and we've talked about this, Donald Trump kind of bending the knee to a large extent to the BLM protest because of the fear about what power they had politically to wield. I don't know that it mobilizes in a good way the same coalition in 2024, which is why I wonder if they're going to try to pivot off of the Israel situation, the anti-Israel protest, to find a new vehicle for BLM. They tried it a little bit in Chicago. It didn't take because the guy fired 11 times. But can they find someone new that they believe is a victim that they can allege is all about racism? They did it in 16. They'll did it in 20. I think they'll try to do it again in 24. Jim in Seal Beach, California.
Quick, I think it's time to call. I think it's time to call these people out. I wish more of them would do it. There's a well-known talk show host on another conservative station, and that's been my opinion that Hamas and Palestinians one in the same. There's plenty of evidence now to show that the majority of Palestinians voted Hamas in. From the day the kids are born, they completely indoctrinate the young children, Palestinian children, to hate Israel. And now yes, this has just been made more evident by what's going on in the colleges. The only other thing real quick is Donald Trump, you said it on your show earlier, the suburban women, he has not got that group, and it's huge. And if the Republicans just dance around this abortion issue, they're going to have trouble again. They're going to have trouble. They need to deal with it. And it can't be just all leave it up to the states. It's got to be a little bit more spelled out, because if they don't, they're going to get hurt by it. Thank you.
Buck, here's the thing, that to build on his point, there was a big poll out, and I flagged it. I don't think we talked about it. suburban women the things that they care about the most. 4% said inflation was the thing that they cared about the most. 39% said abortion was the thing that they cared about the most. Off the charts compared to anything else. It's staggering, but they're going to fearmonger on this issue. Democrats are, because I think it's pretty much the only thing they have. I don't think there's any doubt about it at all. We come back, the latest on the Trump trial, we'll discuss.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.